Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Sunday morning message from Chesley Community Church. Here we are on Palm Sunday, heading up to Easter, and now into the first few days of spring, and the weather is great, and we're looking forward to being able to celebrate our Easter season next weekend. With that in mind, we just want to mention that we will be having a live Good Friday service at 11 o'clock on Good Friday. And then, of course, a live Easter service at 10:45 on Easter Sunday morning. And we'd be happy if you were able to join us for that. Before we get going this morning, let's just pause for a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come and to worship you, and to praise you, to bring our prayers before your throne, to ask you for favors. And Lord, we lift up those who are going through difficult times this morning. We know that just with those listening to us, there will be those that have serious physical issues, perhaps even financial issues or other emotional issues. And Lord, I pray that you would surround them with your spirit and your presence. Give them wisdom as they seek answers. For those physical needs, Lord, I pray that your healing virtue would flow into their lives. Touch them, Lord, and restore them to health. Bless your word as we try and share it this morning. May your spirit work through us. We ask all of these mercies in your wonderful name. Amen. Well, our English alphabet letter A is an interesting one. If you were to look in the yellow pages, and that is if there is such a thing now as yellow pages anymore, many businesses preface their business name with the letter A. For example, A1 Taxi. And their obvious hope is that if there's someone that's in a big rush looking for something and not wanting to spend time rooting through the directory and its many, many pages, they quickly just open to the first page and they look for that A1 taxi. The AAA is well known for Alcohol Anonymous and their 12-step program. And if you were to Google the triplet AAA, you will find lots of references to the American Automobile Association. But today I want to draw your attention to a quartet of A's. Four A's that we can reflect on as we draw near to the end of the Lenten season. Well, the first one is found in Romans chapter 11, verse 22. That's Romans 11, verse 22, and I'm reading from the King James Version. We read there, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God." Now, there's only one A in that sentence, and it's the first letter of the conjunction and. And the very important point that Paul was making is that there are two contrasting elements of God's character. There is both goodness. Some of the newer translations translate the Greek word as kindness. And there is severity. And Paul is pointing out that his people, the Jews, because of their unbelief, rebellion, and sin, were experiencing the severity of God, while by comparison, the Gentiles who had come to Christ were experiencing the blessedness of grace and his goodness. He goes on to caution his readers, and caution us for that matter, that we must remember that these are two unchanging characteristics of the eternal God. The God we worship and the God we serve is both good and severe. The challenge for us is to find an appropriate balance in our understanding of God between the two. Now, I believe there was a time when the severity of God was overemphasized. Denominational leaders read and interpreted the scriptures, and from their understanding, they came up with a list of do's and don'ts for church members. And everyone was expected to follow. If there was any erring to be done, it would be done on the side of caution. If there was the slightest chance that something might be sinful, it would fall into the don't category. For example, one of my history teachers shared how in his youthful years, they were not allowed to wear ties in his denomination because they were considered to be worldly. Now, the positive aspect of this was that there was a healthy concern and respect for holiness. There was a general acceptance that sin was abhorrent to God and that it needed to be avoided and dealt with highest priority. in general, there was a desire to live in a way that would be pleasing to our severe God. The downside was that the severity of God dominated at the expense of his goodness and kindness. Now today, I believe we live in a time when the pendulum has swung the other way. We live in a time when our culture rebels at anything that might be deemed to be judgmental. Any suggestion that all of us are sinful creatures that will eventually face punishment unless forgiveness is found is simply not accepted. I think that an attempt to win people to the Lord, and that certainly is a noble goal, we have decided, perhaps somewhat unconsciously, to agree with the world, to avoid any conversation that might be deemed judgmental, to avoid talking about judgment or a coming judgment day, and instead we focus entirely on the goodness and kindness attribute of God. Let's think about contemporary Christian music for a minute. It is said that music lyrics are a reflection of the society around. If this is true, then it seems reasonable to say that the lyrics of contemporary Christian music are a reflection of where Christianity is today with respect to beliefs, values, and priorities. Now, I love music of all kinds. I love many of the old hymns, and I love many of the contemporary worship songs. But I think that it's easy to prove that the lyrics of today's Christian music are much more heavily focused on grace, love, and the goodness of God rather than on his severity. And that seems to be then where we are as Christians today. We tend to choose and cling to the attributes which paint a picture of a God the way we want him to be, rather than the God that Scripture reveals him to be. We focus on the attribute God is love, and we tend to ignore all other attributes. And God is love. God is grace. God is goodness. God is kindness. But God is also severity, as Paul reminds us. In our minds, then, we begin to design our God the way we want him to be. We assign him the features we would, in a similar way that we would select options when ordering a new car. When we think about God, we think about him in terms of the characteristics we think our God should have. The God we design then becomes a celestial Santa Claus. This contemporary Christianity tends to believe his goodness and kindness is there for the sole purpose of meeting our needs. Any thought of our designer God convicting us of sin or challenging us to live a more holy life, or even worse, someday punishing unforgiven sin, are quickly jettisoned. And so the first A of our quartet for today is and. Paul says, behold, consider, pay attention. God is both goodness and severe. Now the other three A's in our quartet of A's today are A's that begin the word appreciate. The first appreciate we want to examine is this. Appreciate the goodness of God. Now, when we hear the word appreciate, we tend to think in terms of being thankful for something. For example, I appreciate the folks who work so hard at keeping our church building clean. But there's a second important nuanced meaning to the word. It means to fully acknowledge or understand the implications of something. For example, I might say, do you appreciate the number of nooks and crannies and washrooms that have to be cleaned in our church building? So if then you fully comprehend what is entailed in cleaning the church, your appreciation takes on a more significant thankfulness. So when we say then that we appreciate the goodness of God, we must give some thought to the second meaning. Do you and I fully appreciate the goodness of God in the sense that we understand and comprehend the depth of his goodness, kindness, and mercy and grace toward us? In Exodus chapter 34, verse 5 to 7, that's Exodus 34, 5 to 7 in the King James Version, God reveals himself to be a God of goodness. In fact, abundant in goodness and truth. But we also note here the severity of God. He will not clear the guilty. Exodus 34, 5 to 7 reads, "And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and sin, and that by no means will clear the guilty." And so in this Lenten and Easter season, we might ask ourselves, have we taken sufficient time and have we expended sufficient effort to fully appreciate that both aspects of appreciating the goodness of God, being thankful, but also fully comprehending the nature of His goodness. The Easter story, the events that transpired on the hill called Calvary, are not just the cornerstone of the Christian faith. They are the most powerful evidence of the goodness of our God. It is the combination of the perfect goodness nature of God combined with the love of His human creation that prompted a plan of salvation so that the guilty, that is you and I and everyone else on the planet, can have the opportunity to have our sins forgiven and be cleared of our guilt through the sacrifice made by Jesus on our behalf. And so we can ask the question, have we taken time this Lenten season to appreciate that? That is, appreciated in the sense of understanding and fully comprehending how significant this sacrifice made by our good God really is. Appreciating how much sin would have to be accumulated by a rebellious and sinful people. Appreciating the enormity of the penalty that needed to be paid to be able to give us the possibility of having our sins forgiven and our guilt erased. Appreciating the pain of having to sacrifice an only son, being willing to submit him to the most horrible pain and death known to mankind. And then thinking about it in the other meaning of appreciate. Do we appreciate it in the sense of being deeply thankful that He did it for you and I? And then does that thankfulness translate into a willingness to serve Him in any way we can? So take time in this Lenten and Easter season to appreciate the goodness of God in the Easter story. And then beyond that, have we taken time to appreciate the multiple blessings we enjoy even while the pandemic rages around us? Count your many blessings, the hymn writer Johnson Oatman said. Count your many blessings and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Well, I would submit to you that we may well be surprised, but we really shouldn't be, because if we are truly appreciative, we will be reflecting on the goodness of God constantly, counting those many blessings and thanking our good God for Him. There are certainly too many to list and too little time to do it here, but let's think of at least a couple of examples. We have just finished a series on the Holy Spirit. This about the goodness of God in sending the Comforter who would be with us. Think about the gifts of the Spirit, with at least one gift for every believer. Think about the promise of Jesus, who said that both He and the Spirit would always be with us. Just some of the spiritual blessings at the hand of our good God. So take some time to fully appreciate them this Lenten and Easter season. Think about how blessed we have been as a body of believers as the pandemic rages around us. We have no cases in our church that I know of, and most, if not all, have not been impacted through the loss of income. Think about the many blessings that are ours simply because we were born in Canada. Much of the world's population would love to have had that opportunity. So count your blessings. Take time to appreciate them fully. Let your appreciation for your blessings translate into serving both God and blessing others. Our third A of our quartet today begins our second appreciate. Appreciate the patience of God. Someone is rumored to have said, or rather prayed, God, give me patience, and I want it now. Well, fortunately, God's patience is not like that. There's no ebb or flow to the patience of God. Every one of his attributes have been and will be consistent throughout all eternity. Remember our text a moment ago from Exodus? The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering. Now, the dictionary meanings of this seldom-used word, long-suffering, are interesting. One definition reads this way, having or showing patience in spite of troubles, especially those caused by other people. You know, probably all of us have run into a situation where some people have caused us some troubles and challenged our ability to be long-suffering. Another definition, which I believe is closer to the biblical use, reads this way, patiently enduring lasting offense or hardship. Sin, the nation's sin, an individual's sin, our sin is an offense to God. It is only through the long-suffering nature of God that sin is not immediately dealt with. Think for a moment this morning about the years leading up to Israel and Judah's destruction and their captivity. Year after year, and prophet after prophet, God sending warning after warning after warning to the people, reminding them that their idolatry and their sin of every kind was an offense that could not be tolerated. God was demonstrating his long-suffering nature. In Peter's first letter, he reminds us of the long-suffering God who waited patiently for Noah to complete the ark so that he and his family could be saved. The sin of the people had become such an offense that destruction was imminent. But God was long-suffering, allowing the ark to be built so that Noah and his family could be saved. Now, why do you suppose that our Western nations, with all of the sin that they now embrace and indeed even brag about, are allowed to continue? Is our nation as sinful as Israel and Judah, Sodom and Gomorrah of old? Probably. Maybe more so. Why are we not judged? Why are we not destroyed? I believe there's only one answer, and that is the long-suffering nature of God. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that's 2 Peter 3, 9, and a reading from the King James, we read these words. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. So I would encourage you this Lenten and Easter season to appreciate the long-suffering nature of God. Appreciate it in both nuances of the word. First, appreciate it in comprehending and understanding the significance and importance of God's long-suffering. None of us would have eventually come to know the Lord if we had been dealt with immediately after our first sin. But God was willing to demonstrate his long-suffering in spite of our offenses. He was not willing that we would perish, but rather that we would come to him. And you know what? There are many people around whose offenses are an abomination before God. Maybe somebody listening even now, and some might be aware that they, like everyone else, have sinned in their lives, but not, as of yet anyway, have done anything about it. Understand, comprehend that the holiness nature of God calls out for sin to be dealt with, calls for evil to be destroyed. But fortunately, God's character never changes. He remains long-suffering for the moment, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Understand, comprehend, appreciate the nature of God's long-suffering, and then use this season to provide heartfelt thanks to him for his long-suffering nature. Appreciating God's discipline is our fourth and final A for today. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, I'm reading from the NLT this time. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Paul writes, "Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." In other words, appreciate everything that is going on in your life, because it is within God's will for you. That's really hard to accept. Really hard to accept when things are not going as we would like. But as difficult as the concept might be, since it is God's will, then there must be a purpose for it. George Whitefield was one of the great Methodist evangelists of past times, and he spoke about these unwelcome happenings in our lives as thorns in our bed. Perhaps as you are listening today, you have some of these unwelcome thorns in your bed. What might they be for? What helpful purpose might our good and severe God be intending? J.I. Packer offers some challenging clues. Speaking first about those who have not sought and found forgiveness at the cross, to those who have not yet yielded to the Lord, he says, "It might be to awaken you from the sleep of spiritual death and to make you rise up and seek his mercy." And then to those who claim to be followers of Jesus, he says, "It is to keep you from falling into the somnolence of complacency and to ensure that you continue to live in his goodness by letting your sense of need bring you back constantly in self-abasement and faith to seek his face." I don't know what the thorns in your bed might be, but all of us have endured this thorn called pandemic for a year now. And we might ask, what have we learned from it? Could it be that God is using it as discipline to teach us to walk closer to him? To challenge us to care about others more deeply? To challenge us to serve more fully? Paul clearly saw his thorn in the flesh as God sent. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, at 2 Corinthians 12:8, reading from the NLT, he writes these words, "Three times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, 'My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ can work through me. And that's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" So he came to realize that this thorn was God's discipline, teaching him to rely more on Christ than on his own strength. So what are the thorns in your life teaching you? And are you in a place where you can appreciate the discipline of the Lord? The psalmist in Psalm 119, verses 71 and 72, and I'm reading from the NLT, that's Psalm 119, 71 and 72. He said, "My suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees. Your instructions are more valuable to me than millions in gold and silver." Obviously, David came to appreciate the discipline of the Lord. So where are you and I today as Lent winds down and Easter approaches? Do we appreciate the goodness and severity of God? Do we appreciate the patience of God? And do we appreciate the discipline of God? May this Lenten season and all we have been through this year help us to appreciate all of these and to draw closer to him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and praise you once again for who you are, the God of both goodness and severity. Help us to appreciate who you are. Help us to appreciate your goodness. Help us to appreciate your patience. Help us to appreciate your discipline in our lives. Help us to appreciate this Lenten season and this Easter time. Bless your people, we pray. Keep them safe in your grace. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks again for being with us this Sunday, and have a great week. And we look forward to being with you next Sunday. God bless.